The British minister, W.E. Sangster, began to lose his voice and his mobility in the mid-1950s. He had a disease that was causing progressive muscular atrophy. He recognized that the end was near, so he threw himself into writing and praying. I just want to encourage us. Let's throw all of ourselves, no matter where you are in life, into praying right now, wherever you are, okay? But he threw himself into writing and into praying. In the midst of his suffering, he pleaded. He said, "Let me stay in the struggle, Lord. I don't mind if I'm no longer a general, but give me just a regiment to lead." Sangster's voice eventually failed completely, and his legs became useless. On Easter morning, just a few weeks before his death, he took a pen and he shakily wrote his daughter a letter. And in it, he said this. He said, "It is terrible to wake up on Easter morning and have no voice with which to shout, 'He is risen.' But it would be still more terrible to have a voice and not want to shout." Church, we have voices. And so this morning, let's be those who shout, "He is risen." Let's shout it now. He is risen.
He is risen.
Amen. Amen. And I want to encourage us, this doesn't have to be just a once a year Sunday morning declaration. You can make this declaration every single morning when you wake up and you wonder, "What in the world am I doing here today? And how am I going to get through this day?" He is risen.
He is risen.
Amen. Amen. Last week was Palm Sunday. It was the day 2,000 years ago that palm branches were waved and shouts of Hosanna, Hosanna, save us now, were being yelled and screamed as Jesus was walking into Jerusalem, actually riding into Jerusalem. It was a donkey who was walking. This time, this day, this Palm Sunday kicked off what we talked about last week as a rebellion. But it wasn't a rebellion that everybody was really looking for, you know, like spears and arrows and swords and, you know, take over the Romans right then. This was a rebellion that was much larger. This was a spiritual rebellion that wouldn't just change the world then, but would change the world for all time. And we're still part of that rebellion, and we're invited to join that rebellion as followers of Christ. Again, it's a spiritual rebellion of pushing back darkness and bringing the light of Christ Jesus into our world. How many of you are on board with that rebellion? That's the kind of rebellion we can all get on board with. And then on Friday, that's just a few days ago, we gathered with other believers, with other churches over at Freestone Park. We had our annual Good Friday in the Park service. How many of you were there? How many of you loved it? Was it awesome? Was it amazing? It's always good to get together with brothers and sisters around the East Valley and lift up the name of Jesus. Here we remembered the work of Christ on the cross, the place where it says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, where God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. And so Jesus, after the cross, he was placed in a grave. He was dead, physically dead. He was placed in a grave. We sang about it. He was placed in Joseph's tomb. But that was Friday. Sunday was coming, right? Y'all know that. You've heard that old school preacher just preach it. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Well, it was Friday a few days ago, but Sunday was coming. And what day is it today?
Sunday.
It's Sunday, right? And what happened on Sunday? He was
Risen,
resurrected. He is risen.
He is risen.
I'm going to do that a few times because you're all so good at it, all right? And you're playing along, and this is great. This is interactive time. I said it earlier that we are here not to just remember the resurrection of Jesus, but we are here to engage with the resurrection of Jesus right here today, right now, to encounter the resurrection of Jesus, to let it just flow in and through our lives right now, today. How many of you want that? I want that. How many of you need that? Every hand up, right? We all need it. I found this poem this week. It's by an unknown author. It says, "The tomb could hold him no longer. Death is strong, but life is stronger. Stronger than the dark, the light. Stronger than the wrong, the right. Faith and hope triumphant say, Christ arose that resurrection day. Isn't that beautiful? Jesus didn't stay dead. Jesus didn't stay in the grave. Jesus defeated death. The grave is empty. Oh, we have things in our lives that seem empty, but the grave is empty. And because of that, we can be filled and fully alive. I want to show you a picture here. It's a couple pictures that we took at the Garden Tomb in Jerusalem. We were in Jerusalem last year, about 8-9 months ago. Velvet and I were with the Browns and another group of people. And this is the Garden Tomb. They don't know if for sure this is the exact tomb that Jesus was laid in and only spent a little bit of time. But if it wasn't this tomb, it was one very much like this tomb. And they believe that it could have been this tomb because they discovered this hill. It's right next to this hill. And it may be hard to see. Look on the bigger screens. And what does this look like right here? Yeah, isn't that amazing? And so they believe this is Golgotha, the place of the skull. Jesus crucified up here, laid in a tomb just below this hill. Well, Velvet and I went in that tomb. And I'm here to tell you, and it's a really good thing, that it's empty. Because it would have been really strange and gross if it wasn't walking in there, right? But this tomb is empty. The grave is empty. Jesus is alive. And so let's get to what I feel God really wants us to hear this morning. The kicker, the rest of the story. And that is that Jesus didn't keep this resurrection to himself. He didn't. This wasn't about him after all, right? He didn't keep it to himself. John 1, verses 12 and 13. Yet to all who received him, to all who believed in his name. Look at those two words, very important. Who received him and who believed in his name. To those he gave the right to become children of God. Children not born of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God, born again, resurrected. Resurrected. The resurrection is applied to everyone who believes and who has received Christ Jesus. He didn't keep it to himself. He has made it available to all who believe and receive. No longer dead, but alive. So the resurrection of Jesus changed everything. That's been our theme the last few weeks. Changed everything. And as we're being reminded of this morning, I want to encourage you to allow the Holy Spirit to bring to your mind maybe some areas of your life that haven't changed, that haven't experienced the resurrection power of Christ Jesus yet. It's one of my favorite words. Three letters. Starts with Y. Yet. Let the Holy Spirit quicken in your mind someplace, something that's not been resurrected yet, and we're going to deal with that today. We're going to apply that resurrection power of Christ to that today. We're going to get interactive with what Christ has done for us. So the resurrection of Jesus changed everything. We're going to talk about that this morning. What does this mean to us, that the resurrection of Christ, that Easter changed everything? Well, the resurrection of Christ means that in him, and what does it mean to be in him? To have received him as Lord and Savior, to believe upon him, who he is, the Son of God, crucified, risen again, that Christ being resurrected means that in him we have been resurrected. Point number one, write that down. And if you have the Evident Life Church app, which you can get at your app store, Friendly Neighborhood App Store, it has the notes in there. You can fill in the blanks there. You can make notes right there on the app and kind of keep in touch that way also. But point number one, we have been resurrected. Let me say that again. We have been resurrected. But before we look at what it means to be resurrected, let's first remind why we need to be resurrected. Why do we need the resurrecting power of Christ applied to our lives? Is it important? Well, I want to take us to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 to answer that. This is what Scripture, what truth says about our condition. As for you, how many of you are a you? You're a you. I'm a you. We're all a you. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Look at that word, dead. You were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live. Now he's writing to believers, which is why point number one is we have been resurrected, right? But before they were believers, they were dead in their transgressions and sins in which they used to live when it says you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Again, Ephesians 2, verses 1 and 2. So we needed the resurrection. Let's make sure we all understand this. We needed and we need the resurrection of Christ Jesus applied to our lives because we were dead. Dead. We all know what that means, right? We were dead. We were spiritually dead. Our relationship with God was dead. We were swallowed up, surrounded by sin and death, powerless to get free. We all know what that feels like, right? Swallowed up, surrounded, suffocated by sin and death and darkness and hopelessness, powerless to get free on our own. And maybe that's where you are today. That's where you are today. You're in the right place. Because today's a day of freedom. Today's a day for you to experience freedom, peace, joy, the resurrection of Christ Jesus. Good news for you today, that Jesus paved the way of escape. Jesus made a way of escape so we don't have to be surrounded and suffocated by death and sin and darkness any longer. Because he was resurrected from the dead, because he conquered sin and death and Hades, we can be resurrected from the dead. Good news? All right, good news. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, again, to be in Christ, we read about it earlier, is for those who received Christ as Lord and Savior and who believed in his name, in who he is, the Son of God, the resurrected King. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, meaning he's resurrected, resurrected from the dead, no longer controlled by the old man and the darkness. He is a new creation. The old is gone, past tense. It's gone. It's not there anymore. And the new has come. So if we're in Christ Jesus, it's done, it's completed. Because of the resurrection of Jesus, we have been resurrected. We have been resurrected because we're in Christ, because he's our Lord and Savior. Because we believe in him, because we know who he is, and because we know him now and he knows us now. Because it's no longer just us trying to live and make it through this life, but it's us living in him and him in us. Wow. Amen. So in Christ, our relationship with God and our standing before the Creator of the universe has been resurrected. It's been restored. It's been made alive and made new. We have been forgiven. We have new identities. Do you know that when you're in Christ Jesus, when you have been resurrected by Christ because of his work, that you have a new identity? You're no longer an orphan, but you're a child of God. Scripture even says that you're no longer a sinner, but a saint. But I still do things wrong. Right. But your identity has been changed. You have been resurrected. You have been saved. You have a new identity. You are a new creation. The power of the cross and the resurrection has been applied to your life. You have a new identity. We have a new spirit because we have been resurrected in Christ Jesus. Our spirit is not suffocated by death, but we now have a new spirit that's alive. The spirit of life in Christ Jesus is ours right now because we have received the resurrecting power. We've been made new in and through Christ Jesus. We have a new future. How many of you want a new future? Well, in Christ, we have a new future. We have a new destination. We've been justified. We've been justified. I love how we can explain that word, justified, just as if I'd never sinned. Our standing before the Lord is new. We are justified in and through Christ Jesus. The sting of death, that death that we so much deserved, and we all know that. We all know we deserve death. But that sting of death that we deserve was taken by Christ, and it was destroyed so that we might be truly alive. The resurrected King is resurrecting us. It's the resurrecting power of Christ that's applied to our lives. So there was this little boy and his father. They were driving down a country road. It was a beautiful spring afternoon. But suddenly, out of nowhere, a bumblebee flew through the open car window. And since the boy was deathly allergic to bees, he was freaking out, man. I mean, he was off the charts, freaking out, petrified. So the father quickly reached out, grabbed that bee in his hand, wrapped his hand around that bee for a moment, but then he let it go. And the bee flew out of the father's hand. And while it was flying by the boy's face again, once again, he was overcome by fear, frantic. The father sensed his son's terror. So once again, he reached out his hand. But this time, not to grab the bee, but instead to show his son his hand. He pointed to his hand. He said, "Son, look at my hand. What do you see in my hand?" Well, there stuck in the skin of his hand was the stinger of the bee. "You see this?" he told his son. "You don't need to be afraid anymore. I've taken the sting for you." And I'm here to remind us this morning that we have a God who has taken the sting for us. We have a Savior who has taken, yes, we were deathly allergic. Everyone is deathly allergic to death. But we have a Savior who took that death and took the sting of that death for us. So we no longer need to fear death or to fear the enemy or to fear darkness or to put up with it any longer. That's something I feel like I'm supposed to point out right now. Not only to not fear death and darkness and the enemy because Christ has a victory, but we need to take it to the next level. We need to live with confidence and live like we don't fear darkness anymore. And live as free men and women who are truly alive and confident in Christ Jesus. Walk it out. The world needs to see us living it that way. "Where, O death, is your victory?" 1 Corinthians 15:55. "Where, O death, is your sting?" The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's thank Him for that right now. "Where, O death, is your sting?" We have been resurrected. We have been resurrected. The resurrection of Christ means that in Him we are being resurrected. We are being resurrected. We have been resurrected. It is finished. It's past tense. We've received it. Our relationship with God has been restored from death to life. But check this out. The resurrecting power of Jesus not only affects us positionally with our relationship with the Creator of the universe, but it also brings radical, real, evident, visible change to our lives right here and right now. How many of you want some of that? Radical, real, evident change to our lives right now. The same power, like I said earlier, that raised Jesus from the dead, pushed away that stone, caused Him to walk out in resurrected new life, is in the process. Let me say that again. It's in the process of changing our lives, changing everything, changing how we think, changing how we process, changing our desires, changing our choices, changing our actions. We are being resurrected. We have been resurrected. We are being resurrected. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, and we, that's those who have been resurrected, who have received and believed, we who with unveiled faces, we don't have veiled faces anymore because our relationship with God has been restored. We have relationship with him again. So we with unveiled faces, it said, reflect the Lord's glory. We are being transformed. You see that process? It's something that's still happening. It was happening yesterday, it's happening today, and it will happen tomorrow. We with unveiled faces, reflecting the Lord's glory, we are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory. Day in and day out, we're seeing more and more of the evidence of the resurrection at work and having effect in our lives. Ever-increasing evidence of the resurrection doing its work in our lives today, tomorrow, the next day. It's still coming. Look at that. Wow, I'm glad he finally got it too because he needed it really bad, right? But man, we're all being resurrected, transformed, ever increasing. You know, when we walk with Jesus and we walk as resurrected children of God, notice it says ever increasing glory. He takes us from glory to glory. If we feel like we're not going from glory to glory, then we gotta look at who are we following. Are we following Christ and walking with him today, yesterday, and tomorrow? Or are we kind of doing our own thing right now? If we're doing our own thing, we're probably not seeing ever-increasing glory. We're probably seeing ever-increasing troubles and heartache and frustration and fear. But as we walk with Christ, the one who has been resurrected, we walk in that resurrection with him and we experience ever-increasing glory. It's good news. That's good news. Amen. Let's thank the Lord for that. So our resurrection is an ongoing process, all things becoming new for real right now, and this is called sanctification. Sanctification. So sanctification is like the renewing of our minds that we read about in Romans 12:2. Renewing of our minds. That process of thinking God's way now instead of the old way. That's that renewing of our minds. That's that sanctification. That is being resurrected. It's the changing of our motives. It's the ongoing process of the layers of the past, the hurt, the pain, the sin, all the junk being removed as we are walking into the radiance of our new selves. And running into the radiance of our new selves. Off with the old, on with the new, as it says in Ephesians 4. We're not the same. We are being resurrected. And I think we're going to even sing this later. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. So the resurrected King has resurrected me. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. But we discover something else. Because Christ was resurrected from the dead, it means that in him, we will be resurrected. A future resurrection for everyone in this room. I don't see anybody glowing yet from the resurrection, the physical resurrection, right? See, God's plan for eternity is to spend it with us. Isn't that great news? Yeah. Spend eternity with us, those who have been resurrected, saved, made new, by receiving and believing Christ Jesus. That's his plan. And how does he want to spend eternity with us? Well, let me tell you some ways he doesn't want to spend eternity, some ways that he hasn't designed to spend eternity with us. He hasn't designed us to spend eternity with him in some disembodied ethereal state. That's not the condition that we are to spend eternity with the Lord. We're not going to spend eternity with the Lord as angels. We're not going to grow wings. We're not going to be some kind of ghosts floating around. And that's how we engage with the living God for all eternity. That's not God's plan. Rather, God wants to spend eternity with us in the flesh. Let me say that again. God wants to, and He's designed, and He will spend eternity with all who are saved in Christ Jesus. He will spend that eternity with us in the flesh. See, He really originally created us. If you go back to Genesis, Genesis 1, 31, He originally created us, male and female, and He put us in physical bodies. And after putting us in these physical bodies, how many of you know that when God does something, He does it right? God doesn't create junk, right? We all heard that, right? He doesn't. He doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't create junk. And so when He originally created us, He created us to exist, to engage with Him in physical bodies, in the flesh. And He said, it's very good. It's the only time Scripture says when He created something, He says, very good. It's when He created you and me. It's very good. And so God wants to spend eternity by walking with us. He wants to walk with us again. You know that Adam and Eve walked with God, it says, in the cool of the day? They walked with Him. They were in their physical bodies. They were walking with God in the cool of the day. You know what? And it's getting warm out there, so it's the cool of the day. We're going to really long for it again, right? We've had it for the last few months. We're going to be longing for it. We're going to get it for all eternity. See, He wants to walk with us again in the cool of the day. That means we have to be able to walk, not float, but walk. Physical bodies, you know, upright, two legs, walk with Him. He wants us to see Him for all eternity. He wants us to gaze upon His beauty forever and ever and ever. That means we need physical eyes. We need eyes to do that. And He wants us to hear His voice, and you can hear His voice now. He says that His children, they can hear His voice. You can hear His voice now. And He wants you to hear His voice audibly for all eternity. And so, physical ears to hear His physical, audible voice of the Lord forever. That's how He wants to spend eternity with us. And it's like He did with Jesus. It says Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrection. So we can look at Jesus and the state that He is in right now. And we can say, that's what we're going to be like. Now, we're never going to be Him. We're never going to be gods. Let's just point that out, especially living in the East Valley here, right? We're never going to be gods. But we're going to be like Him. And our resurrection is going to look like His resurrection, which was very physical. They could touch, see, hear Him. Very physical. And listen to this. Jesus right now is not floating around somewhere. He's not. He is in His physical resurrected body, ascended, and sitting at the right hand of the Father right now, making intercession for us. That's Jesus. So God's going to resurrect our bodies. Now that's some good news. You're not going to spend eternity in the physical condition that you're in right now. And I'm not talking about looks or anything right now. Anyway, I'm talking about our physical condition. We all hurt, especially those of you who are over, like, you know, 25 or whatever. We all hurt, right? And we hurt more and more every day. And those of you who are like 50, 75, we're all like, yes, we hurt more every day. Well, this is not how we're going to spend eternity with the Lord. But we are going to be resurrected. And we are going to be placed and reside in restored bodies, resurrected bodies, a physical perfection. And this resurrection is often called this glorification. So we've been justified. Our position with God, our relationship with God has been restored. Our real life right now, the condition of our real life, how we're living life, how we're processing life, our thoughts, our actions, our desires are being resurrected right now, being sanctified right now. And there's a day coming when God is going to raise all believers from the dead, from the dust, whatever condition they're in, and He's going to resurrect and glorify Himself through their resurrected bodies. That's good news. That's the power of the resurrection, not only 2,000 years ago, but forever, and it's ours. God has it for us. So there were believers in the church in Thessalonica, and they were wondering, what happens to our loved ones when they die? What happens to them? And people still ask this question. And so I turned to the Word of God, and this is how Scripture, this is how truth answers that. What happens in the end to believers? This is in 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning of verse 13. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, those who've died, okay? Or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. In other words, he was resurrected. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him, those who've been born again in Christ Jesus, who believe, who've received him, but have died, that he will bring with Jesus those in that condition. Verse 15, according to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, and we may still be alive, because he can come back anytime. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. We who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who've fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven, all right? That's Jesus coming back in his resurrected body. It's not going to be quiet. He's going to come down, and every eye will see. We're all going to know. Every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess that he's Lord. So he's coming back. He's going to come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And listen to this. And the dead in Christ will rise first. The dead in Christ will be resurrected. We will be resurrected. We have been. We are being resurrected. We will be resurrected. And after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will live with him forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. So I want to paint this picture really quick, and I got to keep going here. This is extra credit. So basically, do you see the picture that we get from Scripture? Jesus, the resurrected Christ, coming down, leaving the right hand of the Father to bring us into the millennial kingdom reign and ultimately the eternal age. And he steps down from his place of authority, with power, the resurrected power, with the victory over sin and death and the grave. And he comes down in the clouds, and as he's coming down, the dead in Christ are being resurrected, brought to life, resurrected bodies. Who is that? Who is that? That's Don. I think that's Don, but man, he's looking good. Wow! They're coming up. Now, I'm not saying you're dead. You're not dead yet, brother, all right? So they're coming up. They're being resurrected. The resurrection power is just going crazy on this earth. And those believers who are alive at that time, they see their resurrected brothers and sisters and family members coming out of the ground, and they see them start to go up in the clouds, and then we go up with them. Jesus coming down, us going to meet him. And then he comes, and we come down with him, and we dwell with him forever. That's crazy. That's amazing. That's ours in Christ Jesus. Come on, Jesus. All right, I want to read one more scripture. One more scripture before we leave, because whenever I talk about Christ returning and resurrection and stuff, I always love, I'm out of breath. I always love Revelation 21. Revelation 21, let's look at verses 3 through 5. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, you notice how in the end times it's going to be a loud voice? It's not, he's not a baby in a manger anymore. You know what I'm saying? Not a broken man on a cross. I love these lyrics. He didn't stay in the grave, and he's not staying in heaven forever. He's coming, and everybody's going to know it. It's going to be loud, loud. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now, there's a now coming. Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. Not separated, he will live with them. So the dwelling of God is with men. Physical man. The physical resurrected Christ Jesus makes his dwelling with physical resurrected us. And he makes all things new. So check this out. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Come on, Jesus. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, their resurrected eyes, physical resurrected eyes. He'll wipe away every tear from those resurrected eyes. There will be then no more death, no more mourning or crying or pain. Amen. Thank you for that. For the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down. Write this down. Remember this, because these words are trustworthy and true. So folks, we have been resurrected. If we're in Christ Jesus, we have been resurrected. We are being resurrected day by day by day, and we will be resurrected. Let's thank the Lord for that. That's good news.